Sukkah daf yud alef amir alef, toises de remaschil, ikvi levi kikinaifis. To briefly review, the Gemara had quoted the second lashon of Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, that one is allowed to sleep in Akilas Chasanim. Again, to recall, we're dealing with two sheet-like entities that are coming to a point on top without a tefach on top, and then one could sleep in that Akilas Chasanim regardless of its height, even if it's above 10 tefachim. The Gemara had asked, so why with Naklitin, which is a similar kind of structure, over 10 tefachim, you're not allowed to sleep in it in the sukkah, and only below 10 tefachim are you allowed to sleep in it in the sukkah? So the Gemara distinguished that Naklitin are kvi, they're more permanent, and the Akilas Chasanim is less permanent. So now the Gemara had asked, and that's what Tos is going on, ikvi levi kikinoifos. That if you're going to say that Naklitin are permanent, and that's why if they're above 10 tefachim, one may not sleep in it, unlike the Akilas Chasanim, which are not kavua, so therefore one may sleep in it in the sukkah. So why isn't it like the kinofos? To recall, the kinofos, which do have a tefach on top, so there it's banned to sleep in it, whether it's above 10 tefachim or even below 10 tefachim. So why doesn't that same stringency apply to Naklitin, that it should even be asked to sleep in it if it's below 10 tefachim? So on that, Tosis asks the following implicit kasha on the kasha of the Gemara. The kasha of the Gemara again being, trying to compare Naklitin directly to Kinofos because of the fact that they're both kvi. So Tosis writes as follows. Aval pisha ze yesh lo gag v'ze ein lo gag, even though the Kinofos have a gag of a tefach and the Naklitin do not, so isn't that a sufficient reason to distinguish? As we elaborate on a previous Tosis toward the bottom of Yoram Beis, so basically the guidelines, at least according to the first approach in Tosis, assuming that the two Lashonos of Yoram and Shmuel are agreeing with each other, that basically there are three factors that compare things to an ohel: kvius, width of a tefach, and height of 10 tefachim. And when you have two out of the three, it's a problem. When you only have one out of the three, it's not a problem. The Tosis is asking that the Naklitin don't have a gag of a tefach. So when they're lower than 10 tefachim, the only thing against qualifying it to sleep in it would be the kviut. And that's not enough to disqualify it from sleeping in such a structure. The fact that it's below 10 tefachim and doesn't have a tefach wide at its roof should permit it. Ein lo gag. But concerning the kinofos, it has kvius, and even if it's below 10 tefachim, it still has another negative going for it, namely that it has a tefach wide. So how could the Gemara ask that if Naklitin are kavua, that he should have the halacha of kinofos? It's true, they share the common quality of kvius, but that's where the comparison stops. Concerning kinofos, is another greusa, another problem with it, another reusa, the fact that it has a gag that's a tefach, so it's two strikes against it. But concerning the Naklitin, if it's below 10 tefachim, then it has nothing else detracting from being able to sleep in it, because there's no other factor comparing it to an ohel. And that's exactly why, presumably, Naklitin is only awesome when it's above 10 tefachim. This is Tosis's implicit kasha on the Gemara's kasha. Isn't there no real valid comparison between Naklitin and Kinofos? Kinofos is worse because it has a gag of a tefach. So Tosis answers as follows. Mikomukom lo choshiv gag kevan de'ein givon asara. Nevertheless, the rooftop, so to speak, of the Kinofos is not considered a true rooftop since it is not 10 tefachim tall. Tosis's words seem to be a little bit cryptic. What do you mean it's not considered a gag? It's a tefach wide and other areas of halacha, like concerning tumah v'tahara, concerning all those, like an ohel. So presumably what he means is, according to the accepted psak of Shmuel, that you need a minimum of 10 tefachim under a bed in order for it to serve as a problem to sleep under in sukkah. So concerning this context of Hilchas Sukkah, the gag of a tefach is insufficient, at least at first glance, to disqualify the person from sleeping under it, since it's also under 10 tefachim. That gag is not sufficient. The mere width of a tefach is not enough. You also need a factor of 10 tefachim in order to qualify it as a true ohel. Perhaps the simplest reading of this Tosis is a further verification to what we suggested in the earlier Tosis, that in a Torah, in a Chinami, you need three negative factors in order for it to be a problem. Kvius, height of 10 tefachim, and width of a tefach. And it's only the Rabbanan that two negative factors pose a problem. Notwithstanding the fact that the Prima Godim angles to say that a kinofos is actually pasul min haTorah because of the fact that it's kavua and it has a width of a tefach. So he'll have to understand the Tosis in a somewhat different way. We're suggesting that Tosis is saying here that, at least in the Havamin of the Gemara, but I'm suggesting that this part doesn't really go away even in the Maskana, that on a Torah level it's true, it's only on a rabbinic level it's the problem, but that the gag of a tefach is insufficient, at least as far as the kash is concerned, in order to prohibit it, since it is less than 10 tefachim tall, so it's not really considered an oil. And hence, the Gemara asks that Nakliten should indeed be similar to Kinofos. Again, if they're both under 10 tefachim, you're not allowed to sleep in a Kinofos, granted that it has a negative of having a Gag of a Tefach, but that Gag of a Tefach, at least according to the Kasha of the Gemara, is not really significant because it's under 10 tefachim. So too, the Nakliten, even though it doesn't have a Gag of a Tefach at all in terms of width, if it's under 10 tefachim, you also shouldn't be able to sleep in it. And that's the Kasha of the Gemara, because the width of a Gag of a Tefach, according to the Kasha, shouldn't really be significant. So now Tosfos adds the following comment, which we shall see is going to be somewhat problematic in terms of the flow of Tosfos. So Vishneim is Beichar al Areyasa. In both of them, meaning both Nakliten and Kinofos, it has one negative going for it, in addition to the fact that they're both at least somewhat Kavua. That's the context of Tosfos. What is the one negative thing of each one? The Nakliten ain't Lagag. The Gavoa Sarah. Nakliten does not have a width of a tefach on top, but nonetheless, in the case where you're not allowed to sleep in it, it's 10 tefachim tall. The Kinofos, Yesh Lagag, it has the width of a tefach on top, but the Ein Gavoa Myud, you're not allowed to sleep in it, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. So it each has one negative thing going for it, in addition to the fact that it has somewhat of a kvius. I say somewhat, because the Gemara pointed out in the Maskana that Nakliten is more kavua than Akilas Chasanim, but Kinofos is even more kavua than Nakliten. Okay, an innocent comment of Tosfos that certainly explains the Maskana Sagamara. The problem that the Marsha and the Maram raise is that this Tosfos is not going on the conclusion of the Gemara, it's going on an intermediate stage of Akasha. The Dira Maschos Ikvi Levi Kikinofos, where the Gemara is asking, why is it true that with Nakliten, if it's higher than 10 Tvachim, it's a problem, if it's lower than 10 Tvachim, it's not a problem. But with Kinofos, it's problematic, regardless of whether it's higher than 10 Tvachim or even less than 10 Tvachim. But these few lines that we just read, the Vishneya Misbechar Lareasa, explains the Maskana. It explains why there is an important reason to distinguish between Nakliten and Kinofos. Namely, that Nakliten that are above 10 Tvachim have one negative thing going for it. And Kinofos, even below 10 Tvachim, also has one negative thing going for it. Again, with Nakliten, the fact that it has the height, and with Kinofos, the fact that it has the width. But in the context of the Tosfos, Tosfos is explaining the Gemara, which is trying to ban sleeping other than Nakliten, even if it's less than 10 Tvachim. And if the Nakliten would have less than 10 Tvachim, it would have nothing negative going for it in the language of Tosfos, no Reyesa, again, other than the fact that it is somewhat kavua, because it's less than 10 tefachim, it doesn't have the height, and also comes to a point, so it doesn't have a width of a tefach. So how then could Tosfos say that Nakliten have chara l'reisa because it's higher than 10 tefachim? But the context that Tosfos is talking within that framework is talking about a situation where the Gemara wants to ban Nakliten even if it's under 10 tefachim. So how does this comment of Tosfos fit into the rest of Tosfos? Indeed, the Tosa Rosh, when he describes his parallel discussion, omits those whole few lines. He just has the Afalpi and the Mikol Makom.
To explain our Tosfos,
the Mashal quotes his father, who changed the gears of slighting this Tosfos in order to make sense of it, and the Maram has somewhat of a different answer, but basically winding up in the same direction, and that is the cut and paste, that these lines of Uvishneim Isbechar Lareisa are not meant to verify Tosfos' answer to why the Kasha and the Gemara make sense, but they are meant to strengthen Tosfos' kasha. And the Tosfos should read as follows, starting from the top. Afalpi shezeh yesh lo gag, v'zeh ein lo gag, meaning, even though Kinofos has a negative that it has width on top, and Nakliten, if it would be less than 10 tefachim, would have no negative going for it, because it doesn't have a gag. And now Tosfos continues to further strengthen that, and therefore it makes sense that Nakliten should only be usher higher than 10 tefachim, skipping the Mikol Mekom and picking up at the second line. Uvishneim isbe chara l'reyesa, the Nakliten ain lagag v'gavoa asara, that Nakliten only has height, and that's why it's only usher when it has that height of 10 tefachim. But if it doesn't have that height of 10 tefachim, then it has nothing negative going for it, and therefore it's understandable why you should be able to sleep in it. Tosfos continuing. The Kinofos yesh lo gag ve'en gavo miud, and Kinofos has a negative going for it, namely the width of the gag, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. So that's all part of Tosfos' kasha as to asking on the comparison the Gemara wanted to make between Nakliten and Kinofos, since the comparison doesn't seem to be valid. Kinofos is worse.
It already has a charal reisa, again, besides the kvius, when it's under 10 tvachim. Whereas the naklitin will only have that charal reisa when it's over 10 tvachim. When it's below 10 tvachim, it has zero reisa, again, outside of the kvius. And then Tosfos answers to that kasha, mikol makom, going back to the top line at the end, lo choshev gag kevan en gvon asara. That at least, as far as the kasha of the Gemara is concerned, the gag of a kinofos should not be significant enough to be a factor to ban sleeping under it, because the fact that it's under 10 tvachim makes it sufficiently distinct from a typical ohel, and therefore it either should have been totally okay, just like the naklitin, as long as it's under 10 tvachim, or the naklitin should also not be okay if it's under 10 tvachim as well. On the margin of the Gemaros, so they allude to this other girsa here in order to correct the flow of the Tosfos. As an addendum to more fully understanding the words of our Tosfos, the Gemara in the conclusion distinguishes between Naklitin and Kinofos by saying that with respect to Akilas Chasanim, Naklitin are considered Kavua. But with respect to Kinofos, so kinofos are called kavua, and naklitin are not kavua, meaning that kinofos are the most kavua, naklitin are a little bit less, and kilas chasanim the least. According to the analysis we gave earlier, the maskanas of Gemara, simply speaking, should have been more direct. In the Havamina, the Gemara thought that the fact that the kinofos has a tefach is totally insignificant because of the fact that it doesn't have the sufficient height, it's less than 10 tefachim. But in the Maskana, the Gemara could have reawakened that distinction and pointed out that even if they would be of equal kvius, that the main distinction is that the kinofos has the width of a tefach, so that's an additional reisa that has against it, and the naklitin do not have a tefach in the width on top, and therefore it's only when you have the height of 10 tefachim that adds the reisa to ban it. Why does the Gemara distinguish between forms of kvius? Shouldn't it distinguish between whether it's a tefach wide or not? So Tosfos doesn't explain whether, according to the Maskana, the Gemara backed out of the premise of the Kasha, that the fact that it's a tefach wide is insignificant, since it's under 10 tefachim. According to the Maskana Sagamara, it is precisely the fact that it's a tefach wide that causes the problem concerning the kinofos. Or whether, according to the Maskana Sagamara, it accepts that premise that having a tefach wide is totally irrelevant since it's under 10 tefachim, but it solely goes with the degree of kvius, that the kinofos is worse because it's more kavua. So Tosfos leaves that a mystery. The Tais HaRosh, it's reasonable to assume by default that our Tais is also going with that, even though he quotes the logic of our Tosfos, but Tais HaRosh clearly states that according to the Maskana, that's exactly what the Gemara means, that the main distinction between the kinofos and the naklitin is that the kinofos has a tefach, and therefore it's worse than the naklitin. Even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's aser, because it has that reisa going against it. And the naklitin do not have a tefach, and therefore, in order to be aser, it has to have a different reisa, namely the height of 10 tefachim. As to how that fits into the words of the Gemara is somewhat of a mystery. So presumably the Tosfos HaRosh hold that the kvius that the Gemara meant when it was distinguishing between naklitin and kilos chasanim, that's in terms of permanence, because the kilos chasanim, as we mentioned, is created by posts that are put on the ground, and the bed fits underneath. So with respect to the bed, the kilos chasanim is considered totally awry or temporary. But the naklitin posts are actually fixed to the bed. So there it has more of a kvius, literally more of a permanence. But with respect to the word kvius that's used to distinguish between kinofos and naklitin, so maybe there the Gemara is alluding to the fact that the kinofos actually have a tefach. And how is that tefach made? Well, that tefach is made by the fact that there are four beams on all the corners of the bed, and that's what creates the tefach. So by using the word kvius, it doesn't mean in terms of how fixed those beams are, but the fact that those beams have an ability to create a tefach, and as a result, a canopy-like structure that is made by those four beams, with the sheet being stretched on top of it, presumably the words canopy and kinofos being etymologically related. So that canopy has more of a kavua format, rather than the typical tent-like structure that comes to a point where the sheets readily move. But with a canopy structure that's stretched over four sheets, that is going to be more permanent. That's what the Gemara means by calling it more kavua, which is a roundabout way of saying that the fact that there's a tefach is indeed the problem, according to the Maskanas HaGemara, which matches what we said earlier in the previous Tosis. But this is somewhat of a sticky point, as the Tosis does not fully explicate what the Gemara means by distinguishing between Kinofos and Aklitin in terms of Kvias, nor does the Tosis Arush explain that fully as well. But one thing he does make clear, that according to the Maskana, it is the fact that the Kinofos has the Tefach that causes the problem. To recall, the Gemara here on Yud Aleph and Aleph quoted the statement of Rabbi Bar Avuna, which is directly against what was quoted in the name of Yoram Shmuel on Yoram Beis. And Rabbi Bar Avuna holds that you're allowed to sleep in a kila, even though it's 10 tefachim tall, and even though it has a tefach wide. In the language we've been using in the previous Tosasin, even though it has tart l'reisa, has two bad things going for it. It has the height of 10 tefachim, which is oolike. It has the width of a tefach, which is oolike. So the fact that it's temporary, because a kila is temporary, is enough to allow you to sleep in it. Just as a parenthetical comment, Tos had a slightly different girsa from what we have in the Gemara. We have the word kila. Tos has the word kilos chasanim. We pointed out earlier that Tos seemed to use the term kila and kilos chasanim interchangeably. Just you have to qualify whether we're dealing with whether you have a tefach wide or you don't have a tefach wide on top. Rashi seems to be consistent, and that is consistent with our versions of the Gemara, that a kila by default means where there's a tefach wide, and a kilos chasanim is where you don't have a tefach wide. So getting back, so the Gemara explains the Rav Bar Rav Huna statement, kosherizing it, is consistent with the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, who holds that sukkah by definition has to be diras keva. If sukkah has to be diras keva, and a kila, what Tois calls a kilos chasanim, is temporary, so even though it has a height of 10 tefachim tall, and even though it has a width of at least a tefach, it's not going to disqualify the one sleeping in it from being yotze the mitzvah, because that is an ol arai, and an ol arai cannot be mevatel the sukkah, which is called an ol kev. So Tosfos is now going to address, what is the psak? Which view do we follow? Do we follow the view of Yehuram Shmuel, as quoted on Yom Beis, that you cannot sleep in such a kila that's 10 tefachim tall with a tefach wide? Or we follow the view of Rabbi Rav Huna, which in turn is following the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda? So Tos says, ain halacha kein. We don't follow Rabbi Rav Huna. Rather, we follow Rabbi Yehuram Shmuel. And you cannot sleep in a kila that's 10 tefachim tall if it's a tefach wide. Tos has two proofs. Proof number one. Damrinam b'sof pirkin. Abaya Ashkeler of Yosef, the Gani b'kilos chasanim b'sukkah. Abaya found his Rebbe sleeping in a kilos chasanim. Here it's kilos chasanim according to everyone. It comes to a point on top. And by the silence of the Gemara, we're dealing with a case where even though it's 10 tefachim tall, Rav Yosef was still able to sleep in it according to, obviously, his view. Abaya challenged his Rebbe's logic. Omar, keman, kerbliezer. Are you following Rebliezer? So to recall the background of that sugya, which was also quoted by Tosis on Yoram Beis, the Mishnah had stated in Yom Tessimah Beis, according to our version, that Rabbi Yezer held that a sukkah that's made with two diagonals that are leaning on each other and then a third wall on the other side, kind of like a triangular cone, or a teepee, the Mishnah calls that a tzrif. So Rabbi Yezer held that that is not a valid sukkah, because there you have no distinct rooftop. All you have is walls. In the language of the Gemara, shipuye olim lav ka'olim dami. The leaning part of a tent is not considered like the roof. And the Chachamim held, according to our version, that it's kosher. So Abaya's logic is as follows. If, according to Eliezer, that's not a valid sukkah, that means it's not called an ohel. So if that's not a valid sukkah, so that means that you could sleep in such an ohel inside the sukkah. Because you're not sleeping in something that's really called an ohel. Because shipuye olim lav ka'olim. The sukkah, that's more cubical, so that is an ohel. But the leaning structure is not considered an ohel. So that's Abaya was asking his Rebbe, that are you following Eliezer? Normally you don't follow Eliezer. Eliezer's from the Beis Shammai school, plus the Chachamim hold otherwise. So the Maskanas HaGemara is that Rabbi Yosef responded to Abaya, his Talmud, that he followed another Tana who switched the positions of the Tanoim in the Mishnah. That was Rabbi Eliezer who hold that a sukkah commenced rif, where the walls are leaning against each other and there's no defined roof, is kosher, because he held Shipuy Olim Arka Olim. And it was the Chachamim who held Pasul, because Shipuy Olim the leaning part of the oil is not like an oil. So based on the Chachamim's view, which is the winning view, who held that it was a pasul sukkah, so that allows Rav Yosef to sleep in the Kilas Chasanim, which is the same kind of architecture, where there's no defined roof. It's not called an ohel, and therefore he's not considered in sleeping in a separate structure. So now putting it all together, in the context of the Tosfos, so Tosfos quotes that Gemara, where according to the conclusion that Rav Yosef justified his actions, because shipuy ohelim lav ka ohelim, and therefore it's not considered a tent. So Tosfos writes on the fifth line from the Dibur Maschil, mashma de lo shari ela belogag, that it's only permissible without a roof. The only reason right of Yosef was able to sleep in that tent is because she poi olim lav kolim, because the leaning part of the tent is not considered an oil-like structure. It's not considered like a roof. But had it had a roof, then it would be aser. A 10 tefach structure, tall, with at least a tefach wide, it would be aser, which is exactly what Rabbi Bar Avuna was allowing. And you see mitoch adiyuk, referring from the story of Rabbi Yosef, that was only allowed because she poi olim lav kolim. But if you have a real oil of a tefach wide, 10 tefachim tall, it will be aser. So now Tosfos has a second proof that we don't pass like Rav Bar Avuna. V'amar refer kayoshen on Daf Chaf Vav Med Aleph. Rav Shorale Rav Acha Bardlo Lemigni Bechilas Chasanim Besuka Mishum Buki Kelomar Demitzar Potem in a Sukkah. Rav permitted Rav Acha Bardlo to sleep in Achilas Chasanim in the Sukkah because of flies or because of mosquitoes. Meaning Kelomar Demitzar Potem in a Sukkah. The famous halacha of Mitzar, when one is feeling ill at ease in the Sukkah. Poskim explained that if you would leave a room in the house because of such a tzar, so then you're potim in a sukkah based on the drasha of teshu kein tzaduru. You live in the sukkah the way you live in your house. If you leave the room in the house, you're allowed to leave the sukkah. So he's allowed to go into a kila structure, as Tosfos writes in the continuation, mashma, this implies the halav ochi osir. If not for the fact that he had a torah mitzar, he would not be able to sleep in that tent-like structure. Because that tent-like structure is considered an ohel, and disqualifies the one who is eating or sleeping in it from being yotzei. So what kind of kila are we talking about? So if we're dealing with a kila that has all the advantages, it doesn't have a tefach on top, and it's less than 10 tefachim, so you wouldn't need a special heter of the fact that Rav Acha Bardlo was mitztayer from the insects in order to be able to sleep in it. You'd be able to sleep in it even in a regular situation where there's no tzar, because that everyone holds you're allowed to sleep in and be yotzei mitzvah sukkah, because it's not called an oel, because it doesn't have any reuses, doesn't have anything negative toward it, doesn't have the height of an oel, doesn't have the width of an oel, and it doesn't have the kvias of an oel. So clearly we're dealing with some kind of tent, even though Gemara doesn't spell it out, where there's some kind of disqualification. So what is that tent? So Tosfos explains, according to the first understanding, v'sheyesh lo gag. The simple pshat is that it had a roof. We had learned earlier on Yerim Beis that if it has a roof and it's a kila, that's not enough to disqualify it. You also need that it should be 10 tefachim tall. So presumably we're talking about that too. It's 10 tefachim tall and has a roof. And therefore, Rav would have banned Rav Acha Bardlo from sleeping in it except for the fact that he wasn't mitzar. So that is exactly against Rav Bar Avuna. Because Rav Bar Avuna says that a kila structure that's 10 tefachim tall, even though it's a tefach wide, the one may sleep in it, because it's only an ol arai, and an ol arai can't be mevatel an ol keva, which is the definition of a sukkah according to the Tana Rabbi Hud. So another raya that we don't pass like Rav Bar Avuna, we have a maisa Rav, literally, from Rav the Amora, that such a kila would ordinarily be disqualified. So now Tosfos, in the rigor of logic, points out that it could be we're talking about a different tent-like structure, according to at least one possibility. Two lines in the bottom, Tosfos writes, O ke'idach lishna de Shmuel, begavoa asara, vav bishayin lagag. Like the other version of Shmuel, where you have a kila, which is 10 tefachim tall, even though it doesn't have a tefach wide of a rooftop. What is Tosfos referring to? He's alluding to that which he fully explicated on Yoram Beis. And there he pointed out that we have two versions of the Gemara of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. Rav Yehuda Meshmuel in the first version distinguished between a regular kila, where it's above 10 tefachim, it has a tefach wide, that it is disqualified from sleeping in. And if it's below 10 tefachim, if it's a tefach wide, one may sleep in it. Then we have the second version of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, that if it doesn't have a tefach on top, it just comes to a point. So then regardless of whether it's below 10 tefachim or even above 10 tefachim, one may sleep in it. So the first understanding of Tosfos is that they're not arguing with each other. What we call Mara Machara, Mara Chara, Lo Pligi. Each version is just adding a different halacha. One is talking about where you have a tefach wide on top, and therefore there's a distinction between whether it's 10 tefachim tall or not 10 tefachim tall. And one is talking about where you don't have a tefach wide on top, and therefore there's no distinction. The second understanding of Tosfos, Inami, is that there is a machlokus. And the machlokus is about the point that Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel in the second version was discussing. That if you have a kila that doesn't have a tefach white on top, the second version of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel always allows you to sleep in that. We've been calling that a kilas chasanim. But the first version, Tosfos said at the very end, on Yudam Abeis, would hold that once it's 10 tefachim tall, at least rabbinically, you're not allowed to sleep in it, regardless of whether there's a tefach white on top or not. So now Tosfos comments that if you go with that understanding that he developed on Yudam Abeis, that according to at least one version of Yudam Shmuel, namely the first version, that once you have 10 tefachim tall, you're not allowed to sleep in that in a sukkah under ordinary circumstances, in the words of Tosfos, two lines in the bottom, Okeidach lishn de Shmuel, according to the other version of Shmuel, namely Rav Yudam Shmuel in the first version on Yudam Abeis, Begavoa Sara, the tent-like structure that Rav allowed Rav Acha Barla to sleep in only because of its tire, was 10 tefachim tall, Vav Pishain Lagag, even though it doesn't have a gag. Because had he not been a mitzvah, you wouldn't be able to sleep in it, according to the first version of Yudam Shmuel. So now at first glance, it sounds like Tosfos is trying to upset the proof that we don't paskin like Rav Bar Avuna. But upon reflection, it's still a proof, because Kal v'chomer, if Rav didn't allow Rav Acha Bardala to sleep even in a tent-like structure that was 10 tefachim tall where it didn't have a tefach on top, except for the fact that he was a mitzdayer, and therefore he allowed it. So all the more so, Kal v'chomer, if he had a tent-like structure that was 10 tefachim tall, and a tefach wide, then of course he would not be able to sleep in it under ordinary circumstances except for the fact that he was a mitzvah. So whether you go with the first understanding of Tosfos that the tent-like structure Rav Acha Bardala was sleeping in had a tefach wide on top before the word O, or you go with the version after the O that it didn't have a tefach on top consistent with Rav Yehuda Meshmuel in the first version, either way, the proof stands that Rav Bar Avuna's view that you're allowed to sleep in a kila that's 10 tefachim tall and a tefach wide is disproven from that Gemara on Chofav Mar Aleph, as well as the Gemara on Yud Tes Mem Beis. I just note, a brief comment, that Tosfos again is consistent, because our version of Chofav Mar Aleph has that Rav allowed Rav Acha Barla to sleep in a kila, not in a kilas chasanim. And this seems to be consistent with our versions of the Gemara, which Rashi seems to note, as we mentioned earlier, that a kila always had a tefach wide. And a kilas chasanim is something that doesn't have the tefach wide. But for Tosfos, the word kila and kilas chasanim are used interchangeably. It's just a matter of analysis to see what the context is, whether we're dealing with whether there is a tefach wide or there's no tefach wide, or if it's stated explicitly by the Gemara. So, in sum, Tosfos brings two proofs that Rav Bar Avuna, who allows sleeping in a kila that is 10 tefachim tall and a tefach wide, which is kosherized by Rav Bar Avuna, but la halacha is rejected. As an addendum to the Tosfos, it seems a little difficult why Tosfos didn't bring a much more direct proof that we shouldn't follow Rav Bar Avuna, because the Gemara explicitly stated that Rav Bar Avuna's view of allowing you to sleep in such an oil-like structure that has many similarities to oil, namely the fact that it's above 10 tefachim and has a tefach wide, is because that bottom line it's an oil array. And the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, has to be an oil keva, and an oil array cannot be mevatel the oil keva. So why didn't those just say, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda? Where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need a diras keva for a sukkah? The Gemara on Zion Rebbeis pointed out that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is kosher. And Abaya, consistent with Rava's view on the Beis and Aleph, attributes that view to the fact that you need a diras keva. For purpose of presentation, I simplified matters a bit. Also, of Zion Rebbeis discusses that Abaya seems to disagree with Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda and therefore maintains that Abaya derived Rabbi Yehuda's view of requiring diras keva from some other statements of Rabbi Yehuda. But either way, we don't paskin that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is kosher. So presumably we hold that you need a diras arai. So if you need a diras arai, so the sukkah is a diras arai or an oil arai. And if you're sleeping in a tent-like structure that's 10 tefachim tall with a tefach wide, that's also an oil arai. So one oil arai should be mevatel the other oil arai. And therefore it should be also to sleep in such a tent. Why does Tosfos have to bend over backwards to quote all kinds of other Gemaras to show that we don't pass a Rav Bar Avuna? Just quote a direct, logical implication of the fact that, as the Gemara itself testifies, the Rav Bar Avuna's Shita is premised on following Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Sukkah's Diras Keva. We hold Sukkah's Diras Arai. So perhaps what's motivating Tosfos is that on that same Zayin Mabez that we quoted, Abaya collected various Tanayim who hold that Sukkah's Diras Keva. But among those Tanayim who hold Sukkah's Diras Keva, Tos already noted that they're not exactly all the same. And one of those Tanoim is Beis Shammai. This is an example of what we follow Beis Shammai. The fact that Beis Shammai required a sukkah to be 7 by 7 tefachim, enough to hold the minimal table, is something we accept. We don't know like Beis Hillel that the sukkah could be 6 by 6 tefachim. So there's absolute arai, there's relative arai, absolute keva, relative keva. So we who follow Beis Shammai also to some extent require sukkah to be diras keva in quotes. So maybe that's enough to say that if you sleep in an all right, it's not going to nullify the diras keva of the sukkah. So perhaps that's why Tosis tried to bring direct rayas from Gemaris that we don't pass a rabbi Rav Huna. Ultimately, we hold that sukkah basically has to be a diras arai. It's just relatively more keva than Beis Hillel's sukkah of 6 by 6 tefachim. Has to be Beis Shammai sukkah of 7 by 7 tefachim. We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda that a sukkah could be 20 amas tall, nor do we hold like Rebbe that the sukkah has to be 4 by 4 amas wide. But to some extent, we hold this to be a little bit keva, more than Beis Hillel's arai darai. And maybe that's what motivated Tosis to bring the rayas from these various gemaras, rather than just directly that we reject Rabbi Yehuda, because maybe this svara of lo osi, ohel arai, mevatel, diras keva, might even apply according to Beis Shammai. Tosis de Ramasil de Rav Amram Chasida Rama Tchelta Lefarzuma de Inche Beise. Tosis commenting on the halachic story that Rav Amram Chasida held that women are equally chayavos as men in tzitzis, and therefore he was medactic to put tzitzis on the garments of all of the female members of his family. And the Gemara gets involved in a discussion of a shayla that came up concerning Tasa Velomena Osui, which is relevant to the schach of Sukkah as well. So Tosis's topic is to discuss whether or not we paskin like Rav Amram Chasida that women are indeed chayavos and tzitzis or not. Obviously the minhag ha'olam is not, so that indeed is what Tosis is going to prove from many gemaras that we paskin that women are pturos from tzitzis. So Tosis begin. V'chein Rav Yehuda perek atcheles. Rav Yehuda also agrees with Rav Amram Chasida, and therefore he also had the practice to make sure that the female members of his family were all wearing tzitzis. The common denominator is, as Tosis points out, which is the main point that this issue revolves around, is the Kasavri Lailal Zman Tzitzis, Velo Mitzvah Tzaseh Shazman Gromahu, V'noshim Chayavos, that they both hold that the night is also Chayav and Tzitzis, and therefore it's not a time-bound mitzvah, and therefore women are Chayavos, because the default is the women are Chayavos and all the Mitzvah Tzaseh and all the Mitzvah Lo Tzaseh, and they're only exempt from the mitzvahs that say that are time-bound. So if this is not time-bound because you're chayiv in it even at night, then it emerges that women should be chayiv. So now Tosis points out that that view is in accordance with the view of the Rabbanan. Ke Rabbanan de Ferek Atcheles, again there in Menachos in the fourth Perek, which is the famous headquarters for the mitzvahs of Tzitzis and Sefer Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzah, which are only tangentially discussed in other areas of the Gemara, but that's the primary sugis there, which itself is a tangent because it's Masechta Menachos, but that's the primary sugis there. The Amri, the Rabbanan maintain, as recorded in a Braisa there on the Vem Gilamad Aleph, surprising that that's the view of the Rabbanan, Hakol Chayavim B'Tzitzis. I'm adding from the Braisa, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, and then the Braisa continues, Noshim Avodim, they're women, and Avodim Kananim, we know famously, are generally only Chayiv in the mitzvahs that women are Chayavos in. So they're all Chayiv in tzitzis because they hold it's not time-bound. As we shall see, that they hold that Laila is also Zman tzitzis, as Tosis mentioned earlier concerning Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Amram Chasida. The Braisa that continues, Rabbi Shimon Poiter Benoshim. Rabbi Shimon Ve'yochai holds that women are turos because it is considered a mitzvah Zman Groma, as we shall see. So now Tosis writes, V'kavasei Kaimalon, and we hold like Rabbi Shimon Ve'yochai that it is a time-bound mitzvah, and since it's a time-bound mitzvah, women are turos. So now Tosis are going to proceed to bring 6 proofs that we pass on like Rav Shimon, even though at first glance we should pass on like the Chachamim, the majority view, which would be the Havmin otherwise, which presumably is what motivated Rav Yehuda and Rav Amram Chasida to pass on the women are Chayavos and Tzitzis. But nonetheless, Tos is going to prove that throughout Shas there are indications that here we pass on like the Yochid, like Rav Shimon. Apparently there were many others who agreed with him that women are Pturos and Tzitzis because it is indeed a time-bound mitzvah. Raya number 1. Mida dachik gemara bereish perek sheni dizvachim. From the fact that the Gemara gave a forced pshat in the second perek of Zvachim daf yud chesem beis, lo kumi tanoi hasam kulo kerabi shimon. To establish all the tanoim there concerning a debate, which I'll elaborate on in a moment, that they should all hold like Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon say? The Mamait Ksus Laila. He excludes a garment that you only wear at night. We'll see from which psukim he gets that from in a moment. Umarbi Ksus Suma. And he includes the garment of a blind person, at least during the day, meaning a day garment of a blind person would be chayiv in tzitzis. Tosis here does not really elaborate as to what the raya is. At first glance, because the Gemara there, yes, indeed, did quote a brisa concerning Rav Shimon, which has two parts to it. One, that he excludes Ksus Laila, which tells us that is a time-bound mitzvah, since a night garment, pajamas, even if they're four-cornered, are turim from tzitzis. And the second part is that it includes Ksus Suma. So at first glance, the fact that the Gemara wanted everyone to hold like that, maybe the like that is only going on the fact that a Ksus Suma is chayiv. Who says that everyone agrees that a Ksus Laila is pater? So, a little elaboration is in order to more fully understand this raya. The Gemara Menachos, quoted earlier, Daf Mem Gimel Aleph, carrying over to Mem Gimel Beis, explains how the respective positions of Chachamim, who obligate women in tzitzis because they hold that it's not time-bound, and Rabbi Shimon, who exempts women from tzitzis because he holds it is time-bound, how do they darsh in the various psukim? So we'll start with Rabbi Shimon, because that's what the Gemara starts with. It says, Re'isim also, you have to be able to see it. At night, without artificial light, you can't see it. So from here, the Gemara says that Ksus Laila is Pater, that a night garment is Pater. Parenthetically, there's a famous Machlokes Rishonim, whether the main point is a Ksus Yom is Chayeves, day clothing, even if you wear it at night, and a Ksus Laila, pajamas, are Turos, even if you wear it during the day. That's the view of the Rosh and the Balei Taisus. The Rambam holds it depends literally on day and night. Either way, it's considered time-bound, but it's a question of how exactly it's time-bound. Does it depend on when you generally wear the clothes or what time it is during the day? Of course, according to the Rambam, a chumra emerges that you have to put tzitzis on your four-corner pajamas if you wake up with them past the zman of tzitzis. And on the other hand, the kula, that if you're wearing a four-corner garment that's normally worn during the day, that at night it is exempt. And according to the Rosh, you have the opposite kula and the opposite chumra. So for simplicity's sake, we're going to be going with the view of the Rosh in terms of our presentation. That's a distinction between Ksus Yom and Ksus Laila, which is the simple reading of the Gemara. So Rabbi Shimon derives from the Pasuk Re'isim also that Ksus Laila is exempt from tzitzis. However, the garment of a Suma is Chayeves in tzitzis, even though he also can't see. Why don't we exclude it from Re'isim also? Because it is already taken to exclude a night garment, a Ksus Laila. So then the Gemara says, so why do you exclude a Ksus Laila? Why don't you exclude a Ksus Suma? So the Gemara points out that we include a Ksus Suma from the Pasuk, I believe, in Parshas Kedoshim. It speaks about to put tzitzis on garments, asher techaseba, that you cover yourself with it. That's a redundant phrase. So from here, we amarbe, we include the garment of a Suma, even though he doesn't see. The Gemara explains that the reason we prefer being marbe Ksus Suma is because other people could see his tzitzis, even though he doesn't. Whereas at night, without artificial light, so no one could see the tzitzis. That is the view of Reb Shimon. The Chachamim, who disagree, maintain that a Re'isim also is not coming to exclude a night garment, Ksus Laila. Rather, it's coming to tell you that through the mitzvah of tzitzis, you remember one or more other mitzvos. The details of that we'll get to later on in the Tosis. And from the Pasuk of Asher Techaseva, so that we include that not only a four-cornered garment is Chayeves in tzitzis, but even a five-cornered garment, or even more corners, is also Chayevet. And we don't say that the fact that it doesn't have exactly four corners, as discussed in Parshas Kedoshim, it speaks about Arba, Kanfos, Ksuscha, Sher Techaseva. So we don't say that it's Dafka four. It could even be more, as it says, the Ribui, Asher Techaseva. So Rashi there in Menachos has a very important comment that the Chachamim don't utilize the Pasuk Asher Techaseba to include the garment of a Suma because they don't need to, because it's a Kal V'chomer. Since the Chachamim hold that a garment of the night, a Ksus Laila, is Pater, so even in a situation where no one could see the tzitzis, there's still an obligation. So all the more so a kal v'chomer with the ksus of a suma, where even though the blind person himself cannot see his tzitzis, but other people can, so all the more so is such a garment chayiv and tzitzis. So what emerges then is that darshaning from the pasuk asher techasaba to be marbe a ksus of a suma is definitely going according to Reb Shimon. Because according to the Chachamim, there's no need to be marbe the ksus of a suma at all. Not from the pasuk asher techasaba, not from any pasuk. Because since ksus laila is chayiv, so all the more so a ksus of a suma. That point will be very relevant in terms of understanding the raya from Masechta Zvachim, as well as additional proofs that Tosus are going to bring in the continuing discussion. Getting back to the Gemara's discussion in Menachos, Gemara explains that Reb Shimon includes a five-corner garment as well, from the extra word asher. So, with that background in mind, the Gemara in Zvachim Dav Yud Ches Mem Beis quotes contradictory brisos about that exact point. Is a garment that has five corners chayiv in tzitzis or not chayiv in tzitzis? One brisa holds yes, one brisa holds no. So in the ensuing discussion, the Gemara makes that machlokis tanoim, and that's what Tos is alluding to here, le'okumi tanoi hosam, dependent on how they darshan the psukim. But everyone darshins the pasuk asher techaseba to include the garment of a suma, that a blind person's garment is chayeves in tzitzis. And the one who includes a five-corner garment as well, darshins like Reb Shimon with the extra asher. And the one who does not include the five-corner garment as being chayev in tzitzis does not darshin the extra word asher. But everyone agrees to the basic drasha that asher techaseba includes the garment of a suma. But as we mentioned earlier, the Rabbanan do not use that pasuk to be marbe the ksus of a suma, because they hold that that is included as the kal v'chomer from the fact that even a night garment, when no one is able to see it, is chayiv and tzitzis. So all the more so, a suma's garment, where even though the suma can't see it, but everyone else can see it, is certainly chayiv and tzitzis. So again, somewhat of a complex proof, but the fact that the Gemara there insisted that everyone uses asher techaseba to include the garment of a suma, that must be because the halacha is like Reb Shimon, because the re'isim also is used to tell you that the garment of the nighttime, ksus laila, is pater, and asher techaseba comes to include the garment of a suma, which is necessary to include because the re'isim also excludes the ksus laila, and I would have thought that the garment of a suma is also pater because we are deriving re'isim also that seeing the tzitzis is crucial. So that worldview of Reb Shimon, that a re'isim also is coming to teach us that you have to see the tzitzis, and it's a special chiddush that a suma is chayiv based on the pasuk asher techaseba. So that view is seemingly adopted by all the tanoim according to the Gemara in Zvachim. And the reason the Gemara did that, rather than perhaps giving a simpler approach, that the Tana, who holds that you require tzitzis on a five-corner garment, is because he derives asher techaseba, that whole phrase, to tell you that a five-corner garment is chayiv. And the one who holds that a five-corner garment is pater, holds that the phrase asher techaseba is used to be marbe the ksus of a suma. In other words, that they're debating exactly on machlokus in the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon. So the fact that the Gemara wanted all the tanaim to hold Reb Shimon sounds like because that is the psak. The understanding of this raya of Tosfos I got from the Rosh's presentation, where he brings pretty much all these rayos, both in Masechta Menachos, in the headquarters there on Daf Mem Gimel, and in Masechta Brachos, in the second parak, as we'll see later why the Rosh has it in Masechta Brachos. Raya number two. Now we are one line up from where it says Shabbos, Daf Chaf Ha'emah Beis. Ve'uvda de Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, parak ba'madlikin, on Daf Chaf Ha'emah Beis, in Masechta Shabbos. Shoyu Talmidov, Mechabin, Mimenu, Kanfek, Susan. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, in a very famous brisa there, used to get ready for Shabbos, that after he bathed, he would wear a special linen garment, a sadin, and he would await the Shabbos, as the Gemara talks about, not the Shabbos Malka, but the Shabbos Melech. And he would look, Kemalach Hashem Tzavokos. He would look like an angel. So, the Gemara points out that on that Sadin, he had tzitzis, even though it was a linen garment. And the Gemara then records that his students didn't want to put tzitzis on their linen garment against the Rebbe, and therefore they hid the corners of the garment from him So we shouldn't see that they didn't have tzitzis on them. In the language of Tosfos, the Yehuda Viloi from Medlikin, the story of Yehuda Viloi, the fact that he was wearing a sadin that had tzitzis on it, a linen garment, Shoye Talmidav, Mechabin Mimenu, the students were hiding from him, Kanfei Ksusan, the corners of their garments, Damrinan, we say in the Gemara there, why didn't they want to put tzitzis on the linen garment? Ve'inu Savar, Gzeira Mishum Ksus Laila. And they hold that there's a decree, a rabbinic decree, that you can't put tzitzis on the linen garments because you might wind up putting it on night garments. And as we shall see, that's going to violate shatnis. To elaborate, linen, of course, is one of the two components that could be shatnis. And tzitzis, even though the white strings can theoretically be linen or wool, or the type of garment that you're putting them on, if they're cotton, the garments, so that theoretically the strings could be cotton. But the tcheles has to be wool. So by definition, if you're keeping all the aspects of the mitzvah tzitzis, the lavan and the tcheles, so one is going to be in violation of the iser of shatnis by putting on a blue wool string, however many wool strings they are, whether it's one or two or four out of the eight. So that's going to be a seeming violation of shatnis. Nonetheless, we derive from the principle of asei, docha lo saseh, and the juxtaposition of the fact that in Parshas Kedoshim it speaks about the mitzvah of tzitzis right next to the avera of kelayim or shatnez. Again, the exact interrelationship between asei dochalosas and why the hekish between the two psukim is not our topic for now. So bottom line, at least in the Torah, one can put the tcheles on the linen garment and it's not a problem of violation of shatnez. This is the view of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai dispute this ruling and hold that you cannot put on tcheles on the sadin on the linen garment. We pasken like Beis Hillel, at least on a Torah level. Nonetheless, on a rabbinic level, the accepted opinion is that we do not allow it. What is the reason for that rabbinic decree? So, Rabbi Yehuda Ber Beloi himself didn't hold to that rabbinic decree, and that's why he was wearing the full gamut of tzitzis, the white and the blue, on his linen garment, pasken like Beis Hillel. But we hold to that decree. What is the reason for that decree? So the Gemara Menachos gives several reasons. One is what Tosfos quotes here, Gzeira Mishum Ksus Laila, which is quoted by the Gemara in Shabbos. Other reasons that are given are maybe the corners will rip and therefore the wearer will no longer be being Yotzei the mitzvah tzitzis, and he would just, without being Yotzei the mitzvah, be wearing kelayim tied to his garment and then he'll have the avera without the mitzvah override. That's called Gzera Shema Yikra, Shema Yikora. And the most famous of the reasons is because of fake tcheles. Maybe people will wear a blue wool string, but they won't dye it with the Dama Chilazon, which is real tcheles, but they will dye it with Kloilon, which is generally translated as indigo, a derivative from a plant. Parenthetically, in the current tcheles controversy, so I've heard Herzog and others brought a proof as to the color of tcheles, which surprisingly is somewhat of a discussion as to whether it's purple or possibly even green. And they bring a proof because indigo is definitely blue. Some want it to even bring a proof as a specific shade based on indigo, which is somewhat questionable because indigo itself can produce different shades. So getting back, the Gemara there explained that the Talmidim hid their tzitzis because they held that midrabbanan you're not allowed to wear tcheles on the linen garments. Some hold that because of that, you don't wear any tzitzis on the linen garments, even though the chacham are being mevatel mitzvah, but that's the sugin yivamis of yesh koach b'yad chachamim lakar davar min haTorah b'shev al taseh. The chacham have a power based on a safeguard of some kind of Torah law to uproot mitzvahs passively, such as not blowing shofar on Shabbos, and the same with lulav, etc. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that the Talmidim held that there's a gzeira mishum ksus laila, because you might come to put on the blue wool string on the linen pajamas that are four-cornered, and you'll come to violate kelayim. So Tosfos notes, the ika taimach rina perakat cheles, which we quoted before. There are other reasons given in Masechta Menachos. Continues Tosfos, umid nokar hai taima, and from the fact that the Gemara in Shabbos chose the reason of gzeira mishum ksus laila, and didn't mention the other reasons, Shema Minah Dehu Iker. Sounds like that is the main reason. And of course, if that's the main reason, so that is premised on the idea there's a gzera that you might come to put cheles on ksus laila, which means that ksus laila is exempt from tzitzis, and therefore you would be violating the avera of kalayim without having the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because if you would hold like the rabbanan in Menachos that ksus laila is chayeves, and therefore women are also chayavos, so then obviously there's no room to make a gzera. So abstractly, we could have had that gzera the rabbanan even according to the view of the chachamim the rabbanan. Because you have a different reason to make a gzeira. Gzeira mishum that'll rip. A gzeira because of kla'ilan. But the fact that Gemara and Shabbos quoted the gzeira mishum ksus laila indicates that that is the halacha. That's the main reason for the gzeira. And obviously the premise that it's based on, that ksus laila's part. That's raya number two. Raya number three. V'od b'ferek b'amadlikin. Again, in the second parak of Shabbos. This time, daf chav zayin mebeis. Gabei hay de parech. Concerning that which the Gemara asks. Just as we include all kinds of materials that they're all makabel tuma, not just wool and linen, but also cotton, etc. So the Gemara asks, Narbi nami le'inyan tzitzis, me'asher techasava, let us be marba, let us include that all materials are chayavos and tzitzis, provided the garment is four-cornered, from the pasuk of asher techasava, which is a ribui, to include other things. To give a little bit of background, there's a machlokas tanoim as to whether only wool and linen garments are chayavos and tzitzis min haTorah, or all garments of all materials are chayavos min haTorah. So the Gemara is discussing that why doesn't everyone agree that all garments should be chayavos min haTorah from the pasuk of Asher Techasava? Umishani, and the Gemara answers, answering for the view that holds that only wool and linen garments are chayavos and tzitzis min haTorah, Dahumi boi l'rabos ksusuma. Because that pasuk of Asher Techasava is coming to include the garment of a blind man. Umaisi b'raisa de Reb Shimon. And there it brings the b'raisa Reb Shimon, which we quoted earlier. The b'raisa again having two parts to it, that Re'isa Mosav excludes a ksus laila, and Asher Techasava comes to include a ksusuma, which needs to be included because you would have thought it's excluded from a Re'isim also as well, similar to a Ksus Laila. Because as we mentioned earlier, that seeing is an important component to the mitzvah. So now Tosas notes, Shema Mina, Dechein Halacha. So that directly implies that that's the Halacha. Quotes the Braiser of Shimon, which includes the idea of Re'isim also excluding Ksus Laila. And as we mentioned earlier, Asher Techasava, being required to include the garment of a suma is only necessary according to Reb Shimon. According to the Chachamim, Asher Techasava comes to include a five-corner garment, and Re'isa Mos is used for a different drasha. So why couldn't the Gemara say, like the Chachamim, that you can't include Asher Techasava to teach you that other materials are chayavos and tzitzis, that garments from other materials are chayavos and tzitzis? Because you need Asher Techasava to teach you a five-cornered garment, which is the drasha that the Chachamim utilize Asher Techasava for. The fact that they quote the drasha of Reb Shimon and the brayso of Reb Shimon implies that that is the halacha. That is proof number three. Now I have proof number four, much more straightforward. Ustam brayso the Ferakama de Kiddushin, one of the most famous sugis in Shas, a brayso in the first perek of Kiddushin. Here in my Gemara it says Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. I've checked it up. I think it's Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Gabei mitzvahs asei shazman grama. Bryce is quoting examples of time-bound mitzvahs that women are pturos from. Deka chashiv tzitzis. And the Bryce counts tzitzis as one of those classic mitzvahs that women are pturos from because it's time-bound. Again, a stam Bryce like Rabbi Shimon. This is Raya number four. So now we have Raya number five, which Tos is going to show is not a rigorous proof. V'od, the Rabban and the Rebbe Shimon, Muki, Perakat Cheles, the Chachamim of Rebbe Shimon, establish the Pasuk in Perakat Cheles, Re'isam Oso. That Pasuk, Re'isam Oso, which we mentioned earlier, we would get to that the Chachamim don't use the Re'isam Oso to tell you that Aksus Laila is Petura, because they held that Aksus Laila is Chayeves. Rather, they use Re'isam Oso as follows. Licha de Tanya, as the Braisa states, Re'isam uschartem. It says Re'isam Oso uschartem is kol mitzvos Hashem. So we have a hekish between Ria and Zechira. Re'ei mitzvah zo, you're going to see the mitzvah of tzitzis, uzachor mitzvah acheres hatluyabo. And you're going to remember another mitzvah that's dependent on tzitzis. And which other mitzvah is dependent on tzitzis? Ve'ezo zo, which is that mitzvah? Kriyat Shema. And how is Kriyat Shema dependent on tzitzis? So that's the famous Mishnah, the second Mishnah of Masechta Brachos. that Me'emesai Koren Teshma V'Shacharis Mishiyakir Bein Tcheles L'Lovon. When you're able to tell the difference between the blue and the white, again, according to many Rishonim, based on the Rishalmi that's going on the Tzitzis. So that's a mitzvah that is dependent in terms of its time. Kriyat Shema's time is dependent on Tzitzis. Alma. So the fact that the Gemara states that the Chachamim Darshan Uri'isim also to teach you that it's a Ria that leads to a Zechira of another mitzvah. What is that other mitzvah? Kriyat Shema. Alma, so this implies directly Kasavri that the Chachamim hold Kriyat Shema Deraisa, that Kriyat Shema is Min HaTorah. So we wouldn't have taken that as necessarily such a big Kiddush. But Tosfos point out for Kaimalan and we hold the Kriyat Shema Derabanan, which is not the way we actually paskin in Shulchan Aruch, but there is such a view in the Gemara and Brachis and Tosis, together with some other Rishonim, hold that Kriyat Shema indeed is Derabanan. The Kaimlan, the Kriyat Shema Derabanan. The Ferek Misha Meso, in the second Ferek of Brachis, the Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, is the view, as we shall see, of Rav Yehuda and other Amaroyim as well. So even though we, bottom line, paskin is Deraisa, but Tosis is going with the approach that Kriyat Shema is Derabanan. So, putting it all together, if the Chachamim use the Drasha Reisim also Zechartim to teach you that there's an interrelationship between the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema and the mitzvah of Tzitzis, so they are obviously assuming that Kriyat Shema is Min HaTorah. We hold, according to Tosfos, that Kriyat Shema is Derabanan. So obviously we have to reject Lahalacha, the analysis of the Chachamim, and therefore we have to utilize Reisim also like Rabbi Shimon utilizes it for, namely to exempt Uksos Laila, and therefore it's time-bound, and therefore women are Pturos. So now Tosis are Dovah the Raya. Umiyu. However, Mizeh ain Raya. This is not really such a proof. Deha, since Rav Yehuda, the Omar, Kriyat Shema Derabanan, as we briefly mentioned earlier. Rav Yehuda is one of the Amoraim who hold that Kriyat Shema Derabanan. And the application of that is that Safik Kora Kriyat Shema, Safik Lo Kora Kriyat Shema. If you have a doubt whether you read Kriyat Shema or not, so Rav Yehuda holds, you don't have to repeat the Kriyat Shema. That's as opposed to Emes V'Yatsiv, Emes V'Muna, which represents Zechira, Tzitzit Mitzrayim. And that is the Raisa. We would hold the Safik Kora Kriyat Shema, Safik Lo Kora Kriyat Shema. You'd have to read it again because we hold Kriyat Shema as the Raisa. But Tais is going with the approach that is the Rabbanan. And Rav Yehuda certainly holds that way as recorded in the Gemara and Brachas of Chaf Aleph Man Aleph. Now, continuing the Cheshbon here, the calculation, Ashkechan, and we find that the same Rav Yehuda, the Rama Tchelta, the Farzuma, the Inchi Beisei, the Ferakat Chaylas. As we find in Perek HaTcheles quoted by Tais at the very beginning, that Rav Yehuda, just like Rav Chasida, insisted that all the female members of his household would wear tzitzis. That's because he holds it's not a time-bound mitzvah, because he holds that four-cornered pajamas to Slayel are also chayavos and tzitzis. So now, let's put it all together. Rav Yehuda holds that Kriyat Shema is Derabanan. So therefore, he's not going to use a Re'isim also, like Rav Shimon utilizes it, to exclude Ksus Laila. Rather, he's going to utilize Re'isim also, presumably similar to the way the Chachamim of Rav Shimon utilize it. And that Rasha seems to be linking the mitzvah Tzitzis and Kriyat Shema. Well, that sounds like Kriyat Shema is Deraisa, so that's a stira, so it can't be. Something has to give here. So Tosis answers for Rav Yehuda, V'hu darish ki'idach tana. So he will derive something else from Re'isim also. Indeed, in Menachos, Amam Gimel Amud Beis, there's another Braisa that has a different style of drasha as to what other mitzvah tzitzis is connected to, that which other mitzvah does the Ria of tzitzis lead to a zechira of. The words of Tosfos, Udarish ki'idach tana, like a different tana, did darish, who derives from there, uzechor mitzvah acheres, and remember another mitzvah of Ezozon. Which mitzvah is that? Not Kriyat Shema, but rather Kilayim, that you're going to remember the mitzvah of Kilayim. Now, that Rasha is very cryptic, and indeed Rashi and Menachos from Gimel Beis doesn't really explain what that means. Because at first glance, to say you're going to remember the mitzvah of Kilayim, the opposite. You're overriding the mitzvah of Kilayim, because at least in the Torah, we paskin that the mitzvah of Tzitzis overrides the mitzvah of Kilayim. And that's why on a Torah level, we would allow wearing the wool tcheles on a garment of linen. So I'm a machlokas on a rabbinic level, will we make a decree or not, as we saw earlier concerning Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi and his students. So what is that Rasha? So I saw in the Chavrusa, older kind of work that elucidated the Gemara, say quotes to Sfas Emes, who says that Adarava, you have to be careful about Kilayim to make sure that your Tchelis is authentic. Because if your Tchelis would be Kloilan, then you would be indeed violating Kilayim. And they quote from the Meshech Chochma, quoting a parallel in another context of the Gemara, that since Tzitzis actually overrides Shatnis, so it needs chizuk to make sure that you shouldn't think that you're always allowed to wear shatnis, that you're only allowed to wear it in the context of tzitzis, but in no other circumstances can you wear kelayim. Of course, big tikkun as well, but not in under ordinary circumstances. But either way, there's a remembrance of kelayim that has to be done concerning tzitzis. So if so, so that drasha is also compatible with the view of the Rabbanan, that even though he's not going to utilize the Reisa Moso to exclude Uksus Laila, but he could use the Reisa Moso to link tzitzis with the remembrance of kelayim, with the various views as to what that means. So if that's the case, then it's not really connecting it to Kriyat Shema according to that drasha, and therefore there's no absolute proof that the Rabbanan are boxed into holding that Kriyat Shema is the Reisa. So therefore, they could indeed be compatible with what Tosus view is the accepted view, that Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanan, and therefore there's no absolute proof from that aspect of the drasha of the Rabbanan that we cannot accept their opinion. Okay, so then, according to that, we so far have four rayas. The fifth raya was pushed aside. So now Tosus brings a final sixth raya, which, in my humble opinion, seems to be the strongest raya. He saves the best for last. V'od yesh raya miperek sheni de brachas. We have another proof from the second parak of brachas on the Yudal and Mabez. Dam Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef there states, Kama malya ha-shmaita de marava. How great is this teaching from the Bnei Eretz Yisrael? What did they say? So we're going to file it a gersos with the parentheses and the marginal comment here. Take out the first Amri and then change the second Amri into Amri. So lo amri mitzvah tzitzis balayla, they wouldn't say most of the third parsha at night because tzitzis does not apply at night. So before we get into the rest of the proof of Tosfos, so right away we have a direct proof. They didn't say the mitzvah tzitzis at night because it's not relevant at night. And if it's not relevant at night, it's a time-bound mitzvah. And if it's a time-bound mitzvah, women have turos. The Gemara takes that for granted. What did they actually do in Marava? So they would start the parsha of Ayom Hashem Moshe Lemar, and then they would continue, Davo Bnei Yisrael, Amarta Aleim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Just a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end. So Rav Yosef says how great that Gemara is. Okay, it's an interesting discussion, the Achronim, as to why they did that. Why didn't they just skip everything? So on a simple level, because they were trying to get Ani Hashem Elokeichem next to the word Emes, because the Gemara says that's important based on the Pasuk Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And there's further discussion again in the Achronim as to why Rav Yosef was praising it to high heavens. Rabbi Soloveitchik had a beautiful pshat there as well based on the Ritva. That's not a topic for now. So now we see that the Gemara was assuming there's no tzitzis at night. So the rest of the Tosis is now going to quote the Maskana Sasugya. Why do they have to quote that here? Isn't that irrelevant? We already got our proof. There's no mitzvah tzitzis at night. So presumably what Tosis is bothered by is, but we do say the third parsha at night, as is well known. So maybe we should prove from there that we hold that there is tzitzis at night, and therefore it's not time-bound, and therefore women are chayavos. The Tosis point out that if you read the sugya there carefully, we follow the Maskana Sasugya that we do say the parsha of tzitzis at night, but it's not because we hold that tzitzis are relevant at night. We also agree to the premise of the Bnei Marava that tzitzis are totally irrelevant to the night time, and therefore it's time bound and women have turos. So what is that maskana? So Tos now quotes it. Umasik, the Gemara concludes, Taschuli, have a maschuli, that we actually follow the Bnei Marava to not skip the whole parsha totally, but we're going to begin the parsha. Vayomar Hashem Moshe Lemar, Dabel Bnei Yisrael Vamarta Lehem. And unlike the Marava who hold that even though you're supposed to generally finish a parsha, you begin, the Marava hold that here you're allowed to read a little bit of the beginning and a little bit of the end, and you don't have to finish the whole parsha. Again, Rabbi Soloveitchik in that piece, printed by Rav Eichmann's beautiful sefer, the recorded shiurim there of Rav Soloveitchik, Amasech Tabrachas, so he explains what the Nakudas HaMachlokas is about. As well as in the shiurim Ozeich Abamori, the Yartzeit shiurim that the Rav gave for his father. But the Marava held that it wasn't really called beginning the Parsha just by saying, Davel Bnei Yisrael Amar Talem, and therefore they had a right to skip. But we begin like the Bnei Marava, Tosfos continue, V'chev in the Maschalina, and once we already begin, because we hold that that is called the beginning, and you can't start a Parsha without finishing it, so therefore, Gamrinan, we finish the whole thing. In other words, we finish the whole Parsha of Tzitzis artificially, because we wanted to file the Bnei Marava to begin it, and we feel bound to finish it, because we feel that the phrase Davro Bnei Yisrael Marato Aleim is considered already beginning the Parsha, but it's only for technical reasons that we're finishing it, but not for fundamental reasons that we hold that tzitzis is relevant at night, as Tos concludes, Masha Meha, this implies, both according to the practice of the Bnei Marava, and according to our practice, the Laila loves Man Tzitzis, that night is not the time of tzitzis, and therefore it's time bound, and therefore women are turos. the Rosh there in Masechta Menachos and in Masechta Brachos quotes that it's not only relevant to bring a proof from the Gemara Yudal and Mabez, which is discussing the third parsha, but from the Mishnah. The Mishnah quotes the famous statement of Rishu ben Korcha in explaining why the parshias were ordered the way they are. First Shema, and then Vayim Shemoa, and then Vayomer. So Rishu ben Korcha explains that Vayim Shemoa is relevant day and night. It speaks about Talmud Torah, which is relevant day and night. But Tzitzis is not relevant at night. So that Mishnah also, and doesn't quote anyone who argues, is also a, even though it's named Rishu ben Korcha, but since no one argues, it's equivalent to, in a sense, the Stam Mishnah, that Tzitzis is Pturos at night, that Tzitzis is not relevant at night, and therefore also a proof to this Psak of Tosis. It's fascinating that this topic is mentioned by Tosis in several places in Shas, so just following all these Gemaras that Tosis quoted. Interestingly, I didn't see a Tosis there in Menachos, which should have been the headquarters, but you have a Tosis in Kiddushin and in Shabbos. So this seems to be the fullest treatment with the most rayos to this idea that we pass on the Reb Shimon that is no tzitzis at night and therefore is considered time-bound. The Rosh, as we mentioned earlier, both in Masechta Brachos and in Menachos, quotes all these proofs, some of them, maybe all of them, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam.
Tos is going on the part of the Gemara again with Rav Amram Chasida that was brought in tangentially in terms of the fact that he put tzitzis even on the female members of his family's garments. But the reason it was brought in here is to bring up the topic of tasav lo min ha'asui. To what extent do you require a specific asiyah, an active act of creating the mitzvah object, rather than the mitzvah object having been created passively by some kind of situation that was done either automatically or by some kind of minor activity. So the Gemara is discussing how much of an activity you need. Rav was makel, that a minor activity is acceptable. And the specific example, that is Tosis Diri Maschil, is where Rav Amram Chasida had taken a long string and folded it over many times and put it into the holes and had made the tzitzis, and then he wanted to know whether it would be kosher if he just cut them. And indeed, Rav Chiya Barashi told him in the name of Rav that psikosan zoyasiyosan, that it's enough just to cut them. And we paskan like Shmuel, they require some kind of more major activity. So Tosis is bothered by Gemara on Daf Tesamad Aleph, because there the Gemara disqualifies a certain case concerning the making of tzitzis, even though you seemingly are doing at least a minor activity, even a more major activity than the Gemara here in terms of making the tzitzis. So Tosis begins. Gora asa min hakotzim umin hagardin dela'el. The Gemara here refers to one of Tesamad Aleph quoted the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the same Rav who over here only required a minor activity to solve the problem of tasa v'lo min ha'asui, and yet the same Rav over there is disqualifying the tzitzis even though you even did a more major act. What's the case? You have a garment with some leftover threads on the edges. Kotzim, Rashi explains, is leftover from the long strings of the loom. Garden is a reference to other, perhaps even deliberately leftover strings that maybe are somewhat similar to what we have on our talis gadol, where they tie it into a knot to be some kind of ornament. So the Gemara said there that if you take those threads and you twist them, shazira, into tzitzis, and then you make the tzitzis, nonetheless the tzitzis are invalid. So at first glance, that should even be a greater asiyah, a greater activity, then Rav permits here, where all he has to do is cut the strings. So we don't pass them like that. But according to Rav, that minor activity of just cutting the strings is already considered an asiyah. Psikosan, the cutting, it's considered asiyosan. So shouldn't it be all the more so true that taking those threads in the Gemara of Tesamad Aleph and twisting them into tzitzis and then making them into tzitzis after that, in terms of the windings and the knots, shouldn't that be called an asiyah, that it shouldn't be considered tasa lamana asui? So Tosis explains that that's gara, that's worse. Why? Even though you're totally making the tzitzis after that, and you're not just sufficing with cutting them, as is true in our Gemara, nonetheless, Tosis say, lo chashvina le'asiyosan, it is not considered a sufficient activity in making the tzitzis, mishum de be'inan tliya l'shem mitzvah.
that you require the placement in the holes that it sits is that it should be for the sake of the mitzvah. And that indeed seems to be what the Gemara in Tesvamet Aleph states explicitly, because the context there wasn't Tasev Lomina Asui. The issue there was the topic of Lishma. Again, to recall, very briefly, Beis Shammai required the schach to be put on Lishma, and Beis Hillel did not. It just has to be put on Lashem Tzeil. And the Gemara had asked that why is that any different from Tzitzis? And the Gemara says it depends on how you darshan the Psukim. Tzitzis has a drasha to tell you it has to be made Lishma, and Sukkah does not, at least according to Beis Hillel. So the Be'inan Tliya Lashem Mitzvah, you require a placement Lishma. Rashi there seems to say this as briefly as well. So they quote from the Chazon Ish that the maskan of Tosis is that, yes, it's correct that from the perspective of Asiya, it would qualify and it wouldn't be Tasav Lamina Asui, but there's a separate problem, that those threads were not put into the holes, Lishma. They were there already as leftovers from the loom, and therefore it's a separate problem, not one of Tasav Lamina Asui, but a problem of Lishma. Just parenthetically, this is an important halacha to keep in mind when making tzitzis, that not only do the tzitzis have to be wound and tied lishma, but they also have to be put into the holes lishma, that the tliya, literally the hanging or the placement into the holes, also has to be done lishma, according to the Mishnah Bura, at least lechatchila, maybe even b'di'evid, there's a suffix about that. Not only should one have in mind that it's being done for the sake of the mitzvah tzitzis, but one should actually say so, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, even before the placement into the holes, that all the activities are being done l'shem mitzvah tzitzis.